Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's extend our captain hats to the four-time Warriors champion! State University, number 31, Klay Thompson!
Holy cannoli, that was crazy.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
That's probably what we should have said like 18 different times last night. Holy cannoli.
Right?
Man, this is crazy. That was something special, man. I'm never going to forget last night.
It was bananas.
We're never, ever, ever going to forget last night.
And you mentioned it earlier, and you're so right about the billing being outlived by the actual event. That just doesn't happen. And last night was super hyped. And you and I did this about a month and a half ago, like the five games that I'm most excited about in the regular year. And this might have been number one. The Christmas game is always big. And then the Klay homecoming, it's like, oh my God, Klay is coming back as a Maverick. That'll be fun during the introductions. And then who knows what happens after that. And then the game itself actually outlives or, you know, outmeasures what the hype was. That game was even greater than the introduction and the whole lead up.
No doubt about it. Tim Roy, who was on the call for it, is going to join us in about 10 minutes. This is Warrior Wednesday, and it's brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We're going to go to your calls. I do want to mention this up front because every Wednesday when we get to 3:15 and something other than Greg Cosell happens, our text line goes crazy with, where's the guy from NFL Films who comes on and clowns Dibs Dibs tries to fight back with all of his little pieces of paper? So because, like, we look at the calendar, believe it or not, like, we actually sort of kind of plan ahead here. And because of the calendar falling the way that it did, and such a special event that we knew we would want to react to almost exclusively, Greg will be tomorrow. So those of you who are big fans of the mano a mano Greg Cosell Dan Dibley experience, you get it tomorrow instead of today. Right as we're getting ready for a juicy Thursday night football game, by the way.
Yeah, big time.
Next time, next chance to fade the Dibbers, Eagles and Commanders, NFC East showdown.
Yeah,
tomorrow night.
I'm ripe for a bounce back. I don't know if
you are.
I don't know if I've lost three in a row yet. Grandy, of course, will have the answer. So if I say that I haven't lost three in a row, he'll hit me with a patented.
Yeah, it's possible that you haven't, but you probably should have.
Yeah, you've lost three in a row.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Nobody
second, third, and fourth picks of the year.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. And that's why the bit was so good early on. Fade the Dipper. And I believe I'm two games below 500, but
I don't know if you've looked. Do you want to venture just a really brief, before we go to the phones, guess on what the spread is tomorrow night?
It's at Philly, right?
Commanders at Eagles, yes.
Yeah, probably Philly favored by three. I'd say three.
The stock, we're home, three?
Right.
Pretty close. Pretty close.
Yeah, okay.
You didn't nail it.
No.
It was pretty close.
Yeah, close enough.
Three and a half.
And that's an interesting game because Philly is better than many people, and by many people I mean you.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. You told me that last year around this time.
Last year is different. I do think that they're better this year than they were last year at the same point.
Fair opinion.
They're a better team now than when they were 10-1 last year.
I'll say the same thing I said to you last year.
Say it.
Those of you waiting for the Eagles in the NFC Championship game will be sorely disappointed. They will not be there again.
And you think the Niners will go further than Philly this year in the NFC playoffs?
I would bet for it, but I don't know
yet.
I
just asked you what you think.
Yeah,
you don't have to dance around it, Michael Jackson.
Oh, I mean, you got to make the playoffs for them to go further than the Eagles in the playoffs.
True.
Do I think the Niners will go further? Yes. Yes, I do.
All right.
I do. I don't.
They might play each other in the playoffs.
They might. I don't.
And it would be here if the Niners were the four and Philly was the five.
Eagles are allowed to win their division too.
Especially if they win tomorrow.
I think they're a half game ahead right now.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, that's for tomorrow. Let's go to Fozzie in the East Bay. Hey, Fozzie, what's up?
So, boy, yeah, just got the day off, cutting up some vegetables, getting ready for dinner. Thought I'd call Willie and Dibby and say what last night was.
You did the right thing, Fozzie.
Yeah. Klay Thompson night, man. The Warriors did him right. I think overall it was just, as a fan, I'm a little younger, so I kind of grew up on these guys. I wasn't watching the We Believe team or Chris Mullin and all that. But, yeah, the way that the Warriors embraced him last night was great to see. And, you know, I'm glad that Big Bro, Steph, was able to pull it out for us. I got four brothers of my own, so, you know, that's always nice to see. But, yeah, as far as the rotation goes and the 12-man, 11-man rotation, I think it is sustainable. And I know everybody is kind of, you know, doubting it right now, but I think it'll work. And I trust Steve Kerr and Steph Curry and Draymond. I mean, my whole basketball life has been basically watching them. So I think they'll work it out. And, yo, Div, as far as the Greg Cosell goes, things, you know, you got it, bro. And I want to say this to you. Hang in there, buddy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, Fozzie. Thank you, Fozzie. Yeah, there have been a couple of close losses. I got beaten down in about week 4 or 5, and last week I thought I bounced back, but I'm looking forward to it tomorrow because I got notes now.
Well, and
I got copious notes from that last game.
Tomorrow is your chance to even it up at 500, and let's see, checks notes. That's usually when you struggle the most.
Only in my NFL picks, not in life.
When you need to get back to even, you fail almost every single time.
I had last night's Warrior game as a win.
Why? You didn't pick that.
I did, and then you rolled your eyes.
No.
When I said, oh, I like the pick.
And then I asked you off air, did you actually bet it? And you're like, no.
I don't bet anymore.
I picked it. I bet
1-800 Gambler.
Yeah, exactly.
You may want to dial it up. Thank you.
It's a half-point victory.
Call my message phone. You're so lucky.
888-957-9570. By the way, yeah, do you think the 12-man rotation, do you think this is sustainable? Do you think this is going to stay?
No.
This is a good question for Steve next week because he had said, you know, maybe 20 games. I'd like to know what's going on. And by the time we talk to him next, we'll be at like 12, 13 games. And, you know, you're sort of a week and a half away from being at that 20-game mark.
Yeah, but if you even look at last night, it was not a 12-man rotation. And you look at how many people actually played, and you had 11 people play, including Gary Payton II, who played 7.5 minutes, and Moody played 12. So, yeah, Payton played the one stint, and that was it. And it was really more of a 10-man rotation, so I do think that we're starting to pare it down. Injury and relative ineffectiveness, and it's funny because I actually saw GP1 on my my way out of the building, and I'm reading just facial expression and body language, but he didn't look thrilled.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my gosh. Yeah. On the list of things that last night was about, that didn't make the top 10.
Also, Gary Payton, the first, not the second, he's not known for his, like, big smile and his warm
airiness.
Demeanor.
Yeah, absolutely.
So GP was just walking out of the building, and I gave him a look, and I was like, nah, you can keep it moving, Dibs.
It's a lot of people in the building last night. Andre Iguodala,
yep.
Debo, Ricky Pearsall, they were all there last night. Okay, Tim Roy in a few minutes, this just handed to us. This is from Draymond's podcast the next day, and Draymond suggests that Steph was a little put off by a little something Klay Thompson related. Again, the Draymond Green Show, Baron Davis there too. Check it out.
So I put Steph off. He like, yeah, I talked to Klay last night about, he was like, because Steph was supposed to speak before the game. He like, yeah, I called Raymond and told him I'm not speaking. I just need to lock in on the game, so I ain't even speaking. And I talked to Klay about it. Tried to check in with Klay else, and Klay ghosted him. So he got pissed. And here we go.
That's not why he was on 10. That's why at the end of the game, hey, bro, that end of the game, that was almost like the Olympic shot. You feel me?
Okay, so Klay ghosted him. So wait a minute. Grandy, help us translate here. The thought was, or at least what was shared by Kerr last night, is that Steph and Klay talked, and then Steph decided after that talk to not speak. That sounds to me like Steph called Raymond Ritter, said, I don't want to talk, I want to lock in, called Klay about it, and never heard a damn thing from Klay.
Yeah, and to add on to that, Klay also did say post-game last night about the conversation he and Steph had. They just exchanged a few texts.
Not an actual conversation.
Yeah. And Draymond also said yesterday, like, trying to keep up with Klay is a one-way thing.
Yes.
It's a one-way conversation.
It's like a Garoppolo.
Exactly, where, you know, you call Klay or you text Klay and you probably won't get a response back. Mm. So it's not totally out of character.
I wonder if one of those texts was GFY.
Yeah. Good for you.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're making money with the Mavericks now.
Yeah. Good for you.
Good for you.
Yeah. And the follow-up is, you should be here. You should have stayed here. You should be here.
You better stay here.
Yeah, but he didn't stay here.
Want to win a game? Better stay here. Want your record to be above 500?
You better stay here.
Better stay here. Yep. You want to play with somebody who, I don't know, might pass the ball once in a while?
Yep.
Better stay here. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit more spice to it.
All right.
And just two more meetings this year, both in February. They've got the game, and this is at Dallas on the 12th, and then 11 days later back here.
Back here again. Okay.
Yes. And that will be a nationally televised game. That'll be a 12:30 local time Mike Breen special on ABC.
Bang!
Yep.
All right, beautiful. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. Jason, Jay, Mike, those of you on hold, the phone calls are still coming. 888-957-9570. We're also going to take a call from Tim Roy coming up next. The voice of the Dubs, who called it all, will join us on Willard and Dibs.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With a one-point lead, 43 seconds remaining. Curry to midcourt. Grimes waiting for him. Screen by Wiggins. Curry gets Doncic again. Screen by Draymond. Curry gets Lively again.
He wants a three.
Yes, he does. Backs up, shoots a deep three over Lively. It's good! It's good! The Warriors lead by four with 26.4 to go. And Stephen Curry beating his chest, talking to the crowd. Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, stream of consciousness here. Tim Roy is going to join us here on the River Islands guest line literally in seconds. 7 minutes ago, Draymond Green tweeted, man, that take was everything it was supposed to be. Wow. The hell's he talking about?
What take?
I don't know.
His take?
His take? Steph's take to the hole? Like, I don't know. What's he... Is there a game going on right now that I don't know about?
Maybe.
It's 3:19 on a Wednesday.
Maybe it's a poker hand and he took the pot, you know? It's a great take.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do know that Tim Roy had a great call last night. And I listened to you on the post game on the way home, Tim, and it really sounded like you had yourself a whale of a time last night. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, we had a great time last night. I wonder, maybe Draymond's, you know, acting on a movie. Maybe he's just doing another take.
Right.
You
know,
that's also a good take on his, that's a great take, Tim.
Yes.
Very well done.
I don't know, Tim, what stood out other than the obvious? You know what I mean? Like, where did that kind of sit for you in the on the list of regular season memories?
You know, it's really, really high up there. It really felt like a playoff game. But it had that nostalgia of having Clay back in the building and everybody showing him love. But then once the game got going, you know, it was back and forth. Both teams had double-digit leads. Both teams, you know, had big runs. And it just felt like a playoff game. It was really, really cool. The atmosphere was great. The fans were great all night long. You know, it started with the tribute to Clay, which was really well done, and ended with Steph Curry showing us he's still, you know, still the one.
Did you notice a change in the crowd? Because Mark and I were there, Tim, and it felt like Clay hits the first three and the crowd goes wild, and he hits another one and they're happy, and then he hit back-to-back threes that prompted a timeout, and he did the shimmy shake, and it felt like at that moment the crowd realized Clay is now a Dallas Maverick. Was there a moment where you felt a shift in the Clay Thompson, I guess, the history of him as a player?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a natural thing, though. You know, you see him back in the building, and you're so happy to see him. Oh, he hit a three, just like, you know, old times. Oh, he hit another three, and all of a sudden, hey, he's hitting a three to beat us. You know, and then we got to stop this now. And you know, the nostalgia part ends, and you're rooting against him because he's, you know, wearing the other team's colors. So I think that's kind of a natural shift that would go in any of these type of games. And you know, I liked Steph's comment about the shimmy. You know, he knows better than that. And so I thought it was great to see those guys compete against each other. You know, I think there's always been, you know, a great respect between the two, a great love between the two. But, you know, I'm sure this has happened before in many practices or pickup games before the season, you know, where they go at each other because, you know, they're both prideful guys. They both want to prove that they're the best. And between the two of them, you know, when Mark Jackson made that prediction years ago, he was absolutely right. They were the best shooting backcourt in NBA history.
Tim, let's share with the audience the comment that you're sort of referencing. This is on TNT with Ali LaForce when Steph Curry talked about Clay's shimmy.
We know how much respect you have for Clay, but when he did the shimmy, you're ready to check in, we're shaking your head. What were you thinking when you saw him pull that off?
He knows better than that.
Congrats, Steph.
Okay, there it is. So that was great stuff. You also had really good seats for the game last night. Could you hear what he was saying with that unbelievable reaction after the night three?
Absolutely not. You know, we're halfway up the building. He was down the far end looking at a TV camera. We had no clue what he was saying. You couldn't hear last night during that moment. It was all noise. You know, it's kind of like a wave of noise comes over the top of you when that happens. And No, I still don't know exactly what he said. In his post-game press conference, he said he couldn't think of it either because it was just in the moment, just screaming, half joy, half, like, I'm showing you so, that kind of thing. So it was great. It was a great moment. And, you can't ask for a better, regular season game than what you saw last night.
Is that the best regular season atmosphere that you've been a part of at Chase Center, Tim?
Boy, I'd have to go back and think about it. Maybe not. I'd have to go back and look at maybe the 21-22 season and see, look at some of the regular season games there. But it's definitely in the top two or three. I mean, it probably is the best, Dan, but off the top of my head, I don't want to say so if I forgot a game somewhere along the way.
Tim Roy is with us, and we're still basking in the glow of everything that was last night right here on 95.7 The Game. Willard and Dibbs, the voice of the Dubs, with a great call of this whole thing last night. So I'm curious. I mean, we get the whole sort of concept of the brotherly love and whatnot, but at the same time, there are clear complex feelings here. If somebody who didn't understand Warrior basketball came to you and said, describe to me what's going on with these three right now, what would you say?
I'd say there are three guys who went through a lot of very tough situations and grew up together in the NBA, and they started when the team wasn't that good and climbed and made it one of the best, teams in NBA history, one of the great dynasties in NBA history, and have put this franchise on the map. Before the Warriors were sold to Joe Lacob and Peter Guber, that wasn't a very valuable franchise, and now it's the most valued franchise, I think, other than the Cowboys, I think, in the U.S. And so, I think there's a lot of pride in the accomplishments. And so when one of them leaves, I think there's always a little, I think it shows them that it is coming to an end, that this is not going to go on forever. I think they all wanted to spend, the three of them wanted to spend their careers, as Golden State Warriors. It didn't work out that way. And so I think right now they're saying, it's great for you. And I think it is the best move for Clay. I think so. I think he needed to leave to rediscover his joy of basketball and his joy of life. It just wasn't working for him anymore. And then so I think, the Draymond and Steph are saying, we have work to do still. We still think we can win a championship here, and that's what we're focused on. And so I think the three of them will reconvene, after their careers and sit down and talk and do all the things that, retired players do and reminisce, and they'll come back for celebrations of their various championship teams, and there'll be a lot of good feeling then. But right now, he's a Dallas Maverick, Steph and Draymond are Golden State Warriors, and they're both going for the same thing.
And looking at those Warriors in particular, those two, and just how they're playing, and the team is 9-2, and Steph looks to be every bit the player that he was when he won an MVP, and Draymond looks rejuvenated. What have you made through 11 games of just those two and how good they've looked?
They've looked really good. I think Draymond's in a really good space. I think he's back to loving every single second on the floor, which maybe wasn't the case the last couple of years. And I think that, Steph, I think, is rejuvenated with a new challenge, with new teammates, and with the new coaches, they bring a fresh look to the whole pattern. And so I think that they're excited. I think they're excited about playing again. I think it shows. And the other part of the equation is, unlike when we were kids, when you get to your mid-30s now, the training is so good, the science is so good, the nutrition is so good, that players are lasting longer and longer. So these guys still have good basketball, yet to play. And I think the fact that they found pieces that fit in with what they do, guys who share the ball, guys who defend, guys you can switch with on defense, it's made all the difference in the world. Their championship teams always had a really good defense, and I think that's what they're trying to get back to.
Tim, I know last night was 11-man rotation, not 12, and a couple of them didn't play that many minutes, but still, we get the point. Everybody's going out there, and now with the 9-2 record, people are starting to think this is sustainable. I still don't don't know if Steve Kerr thinks that. What do you think?
I think it's sustainable as long as they can you know, vary it day to day, matchup to matchup. You know, what's working on that night. I think that way, if you're playing 8 minutes one night, yeah, well, you're okay because you know maybe the next night you're playing 28 minutes because the matchups will be a little bit different. But again, it you know, it's worked before in Warrior history. Al Attles did it back in 74-75, and he played, you know, 10 guys roughly about every game, and the only guy who got, you know, consistent minutes into the 30s was probably Rick Barry. I think it can work, and I think the other part is that, and you know, last night was the worst night of the year for the bench. They couldn't get anything going. Any of the combinations really didn't work last night, but you know, the previous 10 games, the bench was really good, and what that will do is if you can go through games surviving non-Steph minutes, non-Draymond minutes, and even add on to your lead, then that's going to cut the minutes down for Draymond and Steph over the course of the year, and that means, hopefully, that they're fresher at the end of the season than they would be if they have to play, you know, 35 a night.
The fifth starter, it's kind of been a bit of a rotational position. D'Anthony Melton of late has done it. What have you made of his play and just how well he fits in, not only with that starting group, but this team on the whole?
I think he fits in perfectly because he can defend. He's got length. He can handle the ball a little bit. He's a willing passer, and he can shoot a three. So those are all the things that you want to see with a Golden State Warrior, and I think he fits in. I think the fact that he's on the floor at the beginning of the game can actually improve their bench, because now you look at the bench and you're bringing Pajemski, you're bringing Kuminga off the bench, you're bringing, you know, Kevon Looney off the bench, and what a job he did last night. So you're bringing really good players off the bench, players that could be starters in other situations and have been starters with the Warriors. So that, you know, that's going to add to it. If Melton could stay reasonably healthy this year, I think he might be the key to that starting five.
So much for the Steph and Draymond are too old crowd, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I don't think they're there just yet. You know, I think, Father Time is undefeated.
Sure.
You know, they are, you know, they get there. You can go to your favorite sports book. They're undefeated. You know, you can't bet against them.
Yeah.
I think right now they're showing that, you know, they're in great shape and they've got a great mindset. And I think they're enjoying playing, you know, for Steve Kerr and for the Warriors, and it shows on the floor. There's you know, the word they use is joy, and we're seeing a certain amount of joy with the Warriors in this early season. And I have to tell you, at the beginning of the road trip, you know, I was saying, boy, if they could, you know, get the first two and then get one of the last three, I think that'd be a great road trip. But to go 4-1 on that road trip, and your only loss is against a team that was just, you know, red hot.
Yep.
And is a really good team and a very well coached team by Kenny Atkinson, to come home 4-1 and then have to play a day later against the defending Western Conference champs with two of the best playmakers in the league, and Kyrie and Luka, and then you got Klay and the emotion of that night, to be 9-2 at this point is really impressive. I did not expect this kind of start, but boy, they are really, really playing well.
Yeah, Tim, we asked fans going into those last three road games and then this game last night if they would take 2-2 before they happen, and everybody said yes. Everybody would have loved 2-2, and they went 3-1.
The last three teams on that road trip were 22-1 starting the night of the Boston game. 22-1.
Yeah.
And they won 2 of 3. I think that's impressive.
Great call last night, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, great to hear you today. Thanks for coming on.
It's always good to chat with you guys, and looking forward to Friday and Memphis. But it's nice to have a day to kind of reflect on last night and everything. It was great to see Klay, and I'm happy to see him playing and having fun again. And you know, I hope it works out for him, with the exception of three other regular season games.
Yeah, exactly. And we appreciate you coming on, Tim, because every time, you know what it is, right? It's a conversation sensation, is what it is.
No, saying that just warms my heart. It makes me feel like I'm an elation sensation.
Ah, there it is!
There we go!
Pay the man!
I thought for a minute you were actually going to hang up and go throw up. But
maybe that too.
Yeah.
Well, then I'd be a regurgitation sensation.
Yeah. That's you what I'm talking about.
You can't stop him.
I mean, the man is just a genius.
Doing my Curry voice. Tim Roy. Wow.
Good stuff, Tim. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
we'll
Tim.
All right, my friend. Tim Roy. The voice of the world.
He doesn't miss a beat. That was amazing. Man, that was incredible. Back that thing right up. And his call of the Curry night-night dagger, it just, I mean, it's incredible.
Well, we should hear it.
We should hear it.
We should hear it. Do you have it there, Grandy?
We heard it coming in, but I'll play it again
for you. Yeah, play it again.
I can't get enough.
For the one-point lead, 43 seconds remaining. Curry to midcourt. Grimes waiting for him. Screen by Wiggins. Curry gets Doncic again. Screen by Draymond. Curry gets Lively again.
He wants a three.
Yes, he does. Backs up, shoots a deep three over Lively. It's good! It's good! The Warriors lead by four with 26.4 to go. And Stephen Curry beating his chest, talking to the crowd.
Yeah, indeed he was.
Yes.
Indeed he was. You better stay here.
Yeah.
You better stay here.
It's good. And I love the call because on the second screen where, Draymond screens Luka, Draymond actually grabs Luka and they kind of do a little do-si-do down to the lower block. It was a screen, but he grabs Luka and Luka's happy to be, oh, thank God, I'm not on Steph anymore.
Right.
Draymond, let's go down here. Go ahead and grab me and get me out of this.
Yeah, he took his ice skates off.
Totally.
That's fantastic. Okay, back to the phones. 888-957-9570. Really, any way you want to go with the experience last night, but we're really talking about that outburst, the emotional outburst from Steph Curry after that shot that you just heard. How'd you translate that? What did it mean to you? Tim Kawakami is going to join us in about 40 minutes or so. 888-957-9570. How about Jason in Fairfield? Hi, Jason. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going, man? I just want to partake in this translation of the Curry flurry emotion here. Like, I felt like when he made the shot, I think, like, he just tried to gather all the cameras, all the lighting for him, and then I think what he said was, put that S right here. Put that S right here. And then he just roared after, like, all the cameras just condensed, focused on him. And then I felt like all the bottled emotions running wild from the off season to this game and Clay and stuff. I think he just let it all out there, guys. And, you know, and that's it. And thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, Jason, thank you. Again, we do have somebody who posted, and it's not perfect audio because it's loud in that building,
yep. But
they clearly had floor seats. And they posted the what you could hear of the audio of Steph yelling, and it really does sound like he's saying, you better stay here. But we won't have confirmation until Steph talks, which he says he's going to do. He says he's going to tell us what he said.
Yeah.
He just needed to go to the video himself.
Yeah, and I wonder if he actually will, and he might just say, I don't know what I said. You know, I kind of blacked out, which is what he already said. He may not ever come totally clean, nor does he have to, because the words aren't, to me, what that was about. It was about the raw emotion and the pulling of the chest and the showing of the team name Golden State and the pounding and the growl and the scream and all of that was just, that told you everything you needed to know.
No doubt, no doubt. And I think it's, sometimes it's hard in these situations to sort of navigate your way through what's real, what's bluster, what's just kind of trash talk, and then what's like compassionate love. Like, one of the reasons last night was so great was you got the full emotional rainbow. Like, we spent an entire day getting ready for this guy's arrival. 400 employees are sitting there with caps on, waving it to him as he walks in the building. Lines of people in front of our booth wanting to sign. This, by the way, you should go over to YouTube right now, because right over Dib's left shoulder is the picture of Clay in the captain's hat with the big banner above it that says, thanks for the memories, Clay. And then you should see all the signatures and notes and messages from our listeners and Warrior fans who came up to our booth yesterday, signed this for Clay, got involved in the Clay Carnival, all of that. Then you go in. People are shedding tears because of this whole outpouring of Clay's arrival. And then the game starts. And it immediately turns from thank you to F you.
Well, not immediately.
Well, for the players it did.
Yes, but not for the crowd. And it took the crowd at least a couple of quarters to slowly kind of get into the reality of, well, you still want to win. And that first three that Clay hit, the crowd gave a big cheer for an opposing player hitting a three. The crowd went wild.
And what did I tell you in that moment? You brought it up. You're like, a lot of people cheered that.
Yeah. And you said, I hate it.
I don't like it.
I like it. I want air balls. And then by the time he hit the back-to-back threes, which prompted the timeout and the shimmy shake, at that moment, Clay officially became a maverick in the crowd's eyes. And from then on, the crowd, I do think, was looking at him as a Dallas player and not as a Splash Brother.
Draymond Green on avoiding the emotions of pregame.
I just watched his tribute video earlier. Shout out to Double R. He was nice enough to let me see it. But I just didn't want to deal with those emotions because, A, there's a love for Clay that ain't going nowhere. But B, in watching his reruns, we're all a part of that. You know, so then you start to go into the emotion, oh, man, I remember that. Hey, man, on that playoff run, we had to do this to overcome this. And you start to go down those lanes. Let him have that. You watch it for the first time. You deal with those emotions. I had zero interest in dealing with him. And so that was a big thing for me. I just did not want the first time I saw his tribute video to be me standing there watching.
He didn't want to lose his edge.
Yep.
He didn't want to lose his edge. And then there's an immediate follow-up from Slate with regard to the actual caps. And by the way, actually, I'll hold this till after Draymond talk. I got something to say about all the fans who all wore the caps last night. But here's Draymond on that.
So when the crowd's, you know, tipping the sailor hats and everything, are you just trying to not eat?
I don't give a damn about them tipping no hats.
Actually, it was clearly like a very emotional moment when he's going around there. Are you trying
to? Oh, for him, yeah. He took it all in. That was great. But that wasn't my moment. That was Klay Thompson's moment. That's for him to get emotional about. I tipped my cap to him when he take me on his boat this summer. Tip him a cap today.
Great answer. I ain't tipping no cap. Yep. I don't give a damn about no tipping a cap. And that's perfect.
This is a quick aside because I, in my career, have portions of times where I worked in the sports media in Los Angeles, California. And I would like to compliment the fans of the Bay Area in California because if you handed out hats to people at Staples Center or Crypto.joy, whatever the hell they want to call that place down there, they would care way more about their hair than the hats.
Yeah.
And I've got pictures from behind the lower deck of everybody.
Yeah, mostly.
Wearing those hats last night. And I would like to compliment you on your lack of narcissism for putting the hats on and not caring if you get a little hat head in your gel.
And many of the people left the hat on. It wasn't just for the ceremony. And you look at the third and fourth quarter, there still were a lot of hats on heads. And it just reminds me of the greatness of this fan base because it used to be in the early days of this playoff run, you'd get shirts and it would be 99.5% of the people wearing the shirts. And now more and more people don't wear the shirts. So I was also pleasantly surprised that so many fans put the hat on because of what you're talking about. Those of you with hair, it can be a real thing when you're wearing a hat.
All right. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. Jay, Mike, and anyone else who wants to jump in on this, 888-957-9570, your calls next. Plus, if you weren't with us earlier, if you didn't hear what Draymond said on his podcast today, in terms of what actually did tick Steph off about last night, we'll play that for you next. Tim Kawakami in a half hour. This is Willard and Dibs.
Luka Doncic off a series of screens gets Draymond doubled, finds Thompson wide open three, got it right in front of the Warrior bench. Shot clock at five, gotta go. Buddy Hield to Looney, he'll turn from 20, no good, and Grimes the rebound. Dallas 3-on-3. Grimes right sideline, Thompson, it's a three ball, and it's good. He gives Dallas a 5-point advantage, and the Warriors call a timeout.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Tim K in a little bit less than a half hour for those of you who don't speak Bay Area sports media. That's Tim Kawakami. Locked in, dialed in. Warriors Plus Minus podcast with Tim K and Slates. And Marcus Thompson, who was really good to see at the game last night. All three of them, part of the Odyssey family, putting together the Warriors Plus Minus pod. You should check that out. Tim still has his TK Show pod, which is great stuff. And so Tim will join us here in a little bit less than a half hour. We'll go back to the phones. Want everybody to hear this, though, because we promised it. Draymond Green Show. Steph was actually a little bit upset last night. And that supposed conversation he had with Clay, where they talked out not talking before the game to the public, maybe it didn't actually go down that way.
So I put Steph off. He like, yeah, I talked to Clay last night about, he was like, because Steph was supposed to speak before the game. He's like, yeah, I called Raymond and told him I'm not speaking. I just need to lock in on the game, so I ain't speaking. And I talked to Clay about it, trying to check in on Clay else, and Clay ghosted him. So he got pissed. And here we go.
Here we go. That's why he was on 10. That's why at the end of the game, hey, bro, that end of the game, that was almost like the Olympic shot. You feel me?
I feel you, Baron.
No doubt.
Like, for everything that happened last night, and the list is long, that's what stood out to me. Steph's emotional reaction after the shot to go up by 4.
Yeah, and it's a lot there, more than just we're beating Clay and the emotion of a game, and it's, you know, Clay with a shimmy shake, and, you know, Steph maybe not appreciating that in his house, and the fact that, you know, Clay and Steph tried to get together on what to do pregame, and maybe Steph had an idea, and Clay ghosted him, according to Draymond Green's podcast, and so he was playing with a little chip on his shoulder. And all of this goes back to what we talked about in the crossover with family, and, you know, you can't say things about my family. Only I can talk about my family that way. And when you compete against your family, it's the same thing where you want to beat your brothers more than anybody else wants to beat them. And that's what last night was to me.
888-957-9570. How about Jay, who apparently has called in on his only day off? Wednesday? Okay, Jay. What's going on? Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah, only day off. I got another month of working hard. So I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about Steph's reaction, and then I want to talk about this cup. So Steph's reaction, look, these are warriors. These are gladiators. They don't have the swords. They don't have the bullets. They don't have the bombs. But when you get on that court, it's no holds bar. You know, that's what they're going for. It doesn't matter what happens on the court. You know, I mean, Steph did what Steph is going to do, and there is no repercussions. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean,
that up.
Yeah, go ahead, Jay.
And I want to talk about this cup, all right? You guys are connected to the to the NBA world. I'm not. I want to have the NBA follow what the what baseball does. All right.
Meaning what?
I want them to turn their cup into like what the All-Star does, the All-Star game. I want them, the winner of the All-Star game, gets home field advantage in the World Series. So what I think the NBA should do, because no one cares about this cup, all right? I know the players do. They get $500,000. That's cool. But as for the fans, I think the answer for this silly little cup is the winner of the cup gets a ping pong ball in the lottery draft. What's your thought?
Well, first off, Jay's bringing up something in baseball that doesn't exist anymore.
It's been about 8 years,
yeah,
I think,
it's been a long,
since they did that
long,
away with that.
A long time, Jay, since baseball did away with the idea of the winner of the All-Star game. Remember, this time, it counts.
It's because it ended in a tie,
right?
And so they decided it had to be competitive, which was stupid because the players still didn't really care.
Right.
And so, honestly, for this and a ping pong ball, if you are a player on a team, you don't necessarily want your team to get an additional ping pong ball because they might draft your replacement.
Totally. And so, like, I get it. This is what I would do with it, Jay. Actually, this is not what I would do with it. This is what I am doing with it. The NBA Cup, I don't care. I'm not offended by it, though. They don't need to change it. Do whatever you want. I'm here. Like, if you're, by the way, the ratings so far this year would suggest what? Your cup ain't working.
Well, this was the first night of the cup.
I understand that.
It's unfair for you to take the ratings for the games that aren't cup.
No, I'm talking about.
Last night was the first cup.
And last year, they didn't work. They're not driving.
What was last night's rating? I bet last night's game was one of the higher rated games.
Of course, and it had nothing to do with the cup.
Three words. NBA Cup. It's actually three letters in a word.
I was going to say. Anyway, yeah.
It's the cup, dog.
The ratings driver in the NBA is Steph Curry. His return game was one of the highest rated games of the year.
The ratings driver is always going to be good players playing basketball, and that is, thank you. If you want to look at why the ratings are down, a big reason is because your best players aren't playing basketball.
That's a big answer.
And so if you want to tune in to watch Kawhi, you can't. Embiid, he won't. George, not likely. Maxey, he's out. You mentioned it earlier. Philadelphia tonight, they have three stars. No, no, and no for your three stars playing tonight. And so, you know, even around the association, and now Zion is out for a period of time with his injury. Chet Holmgren's out for months with his injury. So you've got injuries, and then you've got load management and all the rest of it. I'm not offended by the cup either, and I am kind of excited by the last cup game, and you get to it against Denver, and that actually might be for them to move on and have a chance to do something they've never done.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. I'm into it.
Do something they've never done.
It's the only thing missing on Steph's resume right now.
And they only had a chance to do something about it last year. And I will continue to argue that going to the NBA Cup and going to Vegas and playing an extra game is probably disadvantageous. And if you get knocked out of the Cup, then you get your flex game following the next week, and you probably get a game against a crappy team. And so your record is better. So, but that's neither here nor there. My big thing is, like I just said, like you just said, I'm not offended by it, but I also acknowledge it doesn't do anything for us. There's nothing in this for the fan. And that is my number one thing that I would have said to Adam Silver and anyone else who wants to listen with regard to the NBA Cup. It's got cool floors. It's got a concocted feel to it that if you want to get into it, you're welcome to. But super, super millionaires making another half mil means nothing for me, does nothing for me. I don't worry about them if they don't get it. I don't celebrate for them if they do. It's just a thing. It's there. You want to chew on it? Chew on it and eat it. I personally could not give a rip because there's nothing in there that, in my opinion, is directed to the fan.
I'm going
to
eat it.
Well, neat new jerseys last night. Those are pretty awesome.
Those are cool.
Yeah. Cup jerseys.
All right.
Wouldn't happen without the cup. So
now I can go spend $129.99 and go get another jersey?
Yeah, I might. Those are pretty sweet.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
They were.
No doubt.
Whatever.
Steph liked it. Golden State, he was showing everyone as he was growling into the camera.
Yes, he was. Mike in Hayward. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you guys doing? I remember I called you last year. Now, Draymond Green had an injury, you know, and back, and I was telling you he may be injured, right? So the question I have was, this is what I understand about sportscasters is, you know, criticism is always comes with the job, and Draymond got criticized for a lot of stuff that he should have done and did. He didn't get the support he needed to get. All of a sudden, he's playing right, and his behavior is better. Now he's getting all the support.
Boom. Yeah, I don't even necessarily know exactly where that was going. When he says support, is he talking about teammates or is he talking about from
the media?
The assembled media.
He's saying that Draymond was hurt last year and we all were so quick to jump on his Casey.
Uh-huh.
And shout out Casey Schmidt. And that is, you know, mostly unfair because now he's healthy and now he's playing well and now we're all up on his jock. I think that was the nature of it. I'll say this about Draymond Green.
It's a funny comment.
Is I'm just kind of reading into his tone he was going.
Go ahead.
Watching him play, especially last night in person, you realize how unbelievably long and gifted he is because you look at the pictures of him next to Steph, and then Steph next to Pearsall and Debo, and they're all about the same height. And I know you always joke about being 6'2", 6'3"-ish, and looking eye-to-eye to Steph. Draymond's not much taller, but he's got such a great wingspan, and he's so active in the passing lane and so good on defense and so smart. So when he's playing right now, and he is healthy, but then you watch him go to the sideline. You ever watch him go to the bench when he gets taken out?
Yep.
He is greeted by an absolute igloo on two knees, a couple of shoulders in his back, and he is just iced the blank down.
Yep.
And it just reminds you that, yeah, he's healthy, but all these guys, as many minutes as he's logged, he'll never be healthy again,
Okay. Furthermore, though, a couple comments on the idea that was just presented to us. A, Draymond wasn't just hurt last year. Draymond got suspended last year for poor behavior. So now let's extend that to the next point. Oh, he's criticized last year. Now everybody's complimenting him. I have an idea. That's life.
That's life.
When you go out there and make mistakes, which he has admitted, you get criticized. And then when you go out there and you do good stuff, then you get support from people. That's called life. That's called accountability. He's been the first to take it so far this year. That's wonderful. And oh, by the way, stop painting the entire media as if everybody said the same thing. Like, just within this room, there have often been six very differing opinions about Draymond Green. I've always been a very big Draymond Green fan. I can step out of that and point to a couple things where I'm like, nah, that's not good, or that's not okay. And Draymond has pointed to his behavior last year being completely off, and he left his team high and dry. What kind of media would it be if nobody criticized him for that? And then what kind of media would it be if he comes back this year? Like you just said, dude's getting iced on the sideline every time he goes off. He's playing phenomenal basketball. He's being a good, fiery leader, but keeping it under control. His defense at the end of that game last night won them the game. And when that's not supposed to be pointed out or complimented? Like, I don't
just
know, man.
Just because you've been critical in the past. Like, you can't,
what are we talking about here? I think everybody, look, a lot of different opinions, but I think that the sound around Draymond Green has often been very warranted, good and bad.
Yes, and this year it's been completely different. And so I don't know if I would be authentic if I was going to sit here and drill down on things he's doing wrong this year based on his past misdeeds, because I went clean slate this year, and he's been remarkable, not only with how he's acted toward officials, toward his teammates, how he's played, how they've won. He's been spectacular, and I'm not going to shy away from that just because I've been critical in the past.
Tim Kawakami, in a little bit less than 15 minutes, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.